My name is Dr. Ruth DeFoster, and I'm a journalism professor and media scholar who teaches at the University of Minnesota.
I'm Dr. Tasha Suave, a neuroscience professor at Grand Valley State University in Michigan.
The kernel of an idea that became our new book, The Fear Knot, has been over a decade in the making. Tasha and I met in college as undergraduates from starkly different fields. Then, in graduate school, we kept in touch with weekly dates to watch the reality TV show The Bachelor, and we soon found ourselves discussing the latest news stories about viral drug fears. This led to an epiphany. Together, we were uniquely qualified to study new drug epidemics from our blended intersection of science and media. After writing together for years, we uncovered a bigger story about fear, risk, and the lessons of history. And we learned that big problems like fear must be understood from multiple perspectives and disciplines. No matter the era, fear is an ever-present human concern. The Fear Knot explores our misguided human fears from premature burials to GMOs, while explaining the real dangers out there and why you're less likely to be afraid of them. Our goal is to give readers the tools needed to navigate a complicated, frightening world, from fears on a cellular level to complex global problems.
Key insight number one, our fears are at least partially hardwired. Not all of our fears stem from trauma, but most of them are built upon our most primal anxieties. Our bodies are geared naturally to experience fear, and rightfully so. Famous neuroscience patient, known by her initials SM, has a biological glitch that makes her unable to feel fear. While this may sound enjoyable, it's actually incredibly dangerous. SM constantly finds herself in risky situations, like the time she was held up at knife point and responded by laughing at the criminal. SM shows us that sometimes fear is a necessary evil. It helps us avoid deadly scenarios and keeps us alive in a constantly evolving world. But our fears also make us jump to worst-case scenarios, setting us up to believe in conspiracy theories and fall prey to misinformation. Parents worry about their children, so they chide them about playing in the dirt, likely increasing their chances of developing an allergy by avoiding dust and dander. We fear sickness and work hard to treat our ailments, but by doing so, we spark the spread of antibiotic resistance, many times more deadly than the original diseases. We fear the fate of our world, and so we build backyard honeybee hives, creating an army of new competitors for the creatures that are actually vulnerable, bumblebees. Frauds and hucksters thrive on our instinctual fears, selling so-called cures like bleach as a treatment for everything from autism to HIV. But recognizing where those fears originate from can help us. It can cause you to pull back from buying that untested treatment, or trying out that new parenting technique that, while your neighbor vouches for it, it's not backed by any science. Because while it may feel like your fears are driving you to a decision, you always ultimately have the final say.
Key insight number two, fears are cyclical. In much the same way that diseases spread, so do cycles of overblown fears, which sociologist Stanley Cohen referred to as moral panics. Throughout history, moral panics have cycled with surprising regularity, often tied to concerns around the safety of children. For example, the Salem witch trials of the late 19th century alleged that witches were tormenting and even possessing local children, while the satanic panic of the 1980s picked up on similar themes, promoting the myth that a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles were operating out of American daycare centers. And even today, the QAnon conspiracy preys on the same fears of innocence lost and threats to American children. But whether these moral panics are associated with witchcraft or terrorism, one thing remains the same. We continue to repeat the same mistaken fears over and over. The targets differ based on the year, the fear of new technology, for example, driving initial worry about everything from elevators to 5G wireless communication systems. But while the villains change depending on the decade, the tactics used to maneuver us toward those fears remain similar. And thankfully, the ways we can counter the misinformation can be recycled as well.
Key insight three, we need shades of gray in a black and white world. Kratom. If you've heard of this drug, you've likely heard one of two tales. It's either a life-saving miracle plant or it's the lethal new opioid killing teenagers. As a drug researcher, I have to mentally prepare myself if someone brings kratom up in conversation, because I'll likely be fighting misinformation from both sides. Drugs are an easy target for rampant misinformation. The social program called DARE, which stands for Drug Abuse Resistance Education, has maligned drugs across multiple generations of children, warning us that all drugs are bad. But on TikTok, we hear that the terpenes in cannabis can cure cancer and melatonin will help put a stop to all of your sleep problems. The problem with this type of thinking is that the answer is somewhere in between. Kratom can help people quit other, more dangerous opioids that remain more directly responsible for this epidemic of suffering. But it also has addictive qualities, and because it's unregulated, almost anything can be packaged into the product, with kratom samples frequently testing positive for heavy metals and even salmonella. As humans, we tend to use what could be considered an all-or-nothing mindset. Your nemesis is pure evil, and your best friend deserves the world. But when we fear something, this distortion becomes even more extreme. The result? Our fears prompt us to swing wildly in the opposite direction. The laissez-faire parenting of the past is seen in present as neglectful. And so parents swing towards what is called helicopter parenting, hovering over our children's every move. But the best parenting is more likely somewhere in between, promoting independence but ending the custom of literally throwing your children into the deep end of the pool and hoping that they can swim. Ultimately, when all is said and done, most of life exists within those more ambiguous shades of gray. And the more we paint things as solely black or white, the more we lose the nuance of the everyday.
Key insight number 4. The biggest problems are complex, but crucial. Every summer over the past decade or so, we've continued to see new heat records set. We watch floods ravage cities and hurricanes flood zones that were previously considered safe. And we avert our eyes, not because we don't fear what our future is going to look like, but because we feel helpless in the face of it. The uncomfortable truth is that the things we really should fear the most are often the hardest to wrap one's head around. Problems like climate change, systemic racial and gender inequality, childhood poverty, and domestic terrorism, just to give a few examples. As individuals, it's easy to ignore these problems because, in the first place, we don't think that we can contribute productively to the eventual solution. And it's often painful to have to confront those of our own behaviors that contribute to these nightmarish scenarios, from the seemingly humdrum algorithmic echo chambers in which far too many of us now exist, thanks to a daily avalanche of social media app-driven life interruptions that reach us through our computers and digital phones, to the emotionally and economically expensive decisions we will likely have to make to try to fix them. But these big systemic problems, many of which have continued to plague our society for centuries, are what we should now focus on the most.
Key insight number 5, we believe what we see. All across the world, rates of reliable types of birth control have plummeted, while more unreliable methods have begun to skyrocket. The horrors of hormonal birth control are shared between inboxes with no fact-checking in sight. Daisy, a fertility tracker app, became a leading example of the new face of contraception, supposedly protecting women from the evils of hormonal birth control while preventing pregnancy. But when you peek behind the curtain, the popular app that influencers promoted relentlessly turned out to not be as effective as originally touted, the science backing it having been retracted from the original journal. You probably could easily come up with a recent example of a social media story that turned out to be just like this, misleading or even dangerous. Scientists talk about Andrew Wakefield's study falsely linking vaccines to autism as a warning, the original misinformation that snowballed out of control. But every day, even more falsehoods flood social media, sometimes benign, but other times deadly. Doctors plead for people not to rely on the new trend of cough CPR as a method to treat a heart attack, for example. And yet videos make the rounds, shared by millions without thinking of its risk. Our social media algorithms are designed to feed you what you want to see, and we want to see things with which each of us agrees. Over time, in an algorithmic silo, our views become more extreme, and we become more at risk of sticking to our siloed positions. And all the while, misinformation slides from one person to another, across countries and friend groups, exposing us to more of our own particular views. Our algorithms drive these anxieties, shaping who and what we're afraid of. But recognizing this is the first step of being able to take a hard look at your own consumption, counteracting its persuasion. Our fears don't merely guide us in our own daily actions. They also sharply define some of the biggest questions that we face throughout society. And it's getting harder and harder to know what we should be afraid of, particularly when our news and social media feeds are increasingly full of deepfakes and lurid sensationalism. Our biggest problems can seem all but impossible to solve, especially when we're struggling with daily concerns like what type of food to buy at the supermarket or whether your space heater is dangerous. Even though our fears might be based on something primal, always remember the following. You are still the one in complete control of your behavior. Being informed, counteracting your own biases, and thinking critically about the world in which you live and the news you hear, even when it's hard, is especially crucial in today's society. Our goal, therefore, is to help you untie all of your fear knots, from the smallest to the most complex. We hope you enjoy the book, which Ruth and I worked hard to ensure will be of use and value to you and your loved ones today and tomorrow and in all the days to come. Thank you.